Okay, we're about to embark upon our next sugya. It's the sugya of Ger Katan. So the truth is that one would think that Ger Katan is a Yoredei sugya. One would think that it's an Isavaheta sugya. One immediately realizes that all the Yisodas that we've been talking about for the last couple of days in terms of Zechiyah and Shlichas and Ketanim are going to impact greatly on Chayshim Mishpah is going to impact greatly on Yoredei. So let's begin the sugya. So Tosfos makes the first obvious conclusion based on our Gemara, that there exists a concept of a Ger Katan, and most probably it exists on the level of Deraisa. If it didn't exist in Deraisa, it would be pretty silly for us to be discussing the Parsha of Gezel HaGer. It exists in Deraisa also, as played out in Maseches Ksubas Tafid Alfam and Aleph. The Gemara says, but Bilos Adas Beis Din, it's almost impossible to conceive of a Ger Katan only being Midirabonon. So I'm well aware of the fact that Tosfos in Ksubas Tafid Aleph just plays with us a little bit and says, maybe Ger Katan is only Midrabanan, but come on, we don't really think that's true. We really believe that Ger Katan is Midaraisa. Pashas Advam, where all the Rishayim is that Ger Katan is Deraisa. The question is, how does it work? So Tosfos poses their initial challenge by saying, now, wait a second, how would Ger Katan work Midaraisa? Isn't it based on Zoch and Anishol Mephanim? That's what the Gemara sounds like in Super Safir Aleph. And don't we already know from the previous day, Sugya, that Zechiyah is mitam shlichos, and therefore there's no shlichos for a katan, and therefore the corollary is that there's no Zechiyah for a katan. If so, then the whole Ger Katan is going to fall by the wayside. How could you ever have a Ger Katan in Deraisa if Zechiyah is mitam shlichos? So truth to be told, Tosfos says, one could have raised the same question about how can you ever have a Ger Katan ain't Zechiyah li'akom. And since he's a goy, obviously he's a goy, if he's converting to a goy, so why don't we say that ain't shlichos Yaakov and ain't zechiyah Yaakov? So forget about the katan piece of the equation, just the mere fact that there's a goy should pose a problem. So Tosfos says, no, that's not such a big problem, because that we could say, geruso v'zechiyos aboim kiyechod, that since in the process of converting, as he's converting, he's becoming nefach lios to Yisrael, so he's having zechiyah and gerus all at the same time. So that's nishka felach sitar. So he's not losing too much sleep over that kasha, but they are losing a significant amount of sleep over the other kasha, namely, how can you ever have a parsha of Ger Katan Midaraisa typically that zechiyah is mitam shlichus? So before we get to the intricacies of the rayas of Tosfos that zechiyah is mitam shlichus and the dichuyim of the other rishonim, let's just stop and finally, for the first time, really define this principle of zechiyah mitam shlichus properly. We saw it was playing out in the last sugya. We saw it's playing out now. What do those words mean, zechiyah mitam shlichus? So we said it very, very quickly in the first day, and I gave you my word that I would come back to it. So I'm true to my word, I just came back to it now. So what do those words mean, zechiyah mitam shlichus? So l'chora, what it means is as follows, that shlichus means that Reuven could do something on behalf of Shimon because Reuven was appointed to do so. Zechiyah means Reuven could do something on behalf of Shimon even though Reuven was not appointed to do so. So how does Zechiyah work? So the answer is, it's understood that what Reuven is doing, even though he wasn't formally appointed by Shimon, that's only because Shimon didn't know about it. Shimon was in China. He didn't know that he's receiving a matana. Reuven's receiving a matana on his behalf. But if he would have known, and immediately when he finds out, so Igloi Nosel Mafreya, he would have appointed Reuven to be his shaliach. So the chayyah, what Zechiyah means is, it's a form of a shlichos without a minui shlichos, without a formal minui shlichos, but it's an assumed minui shlichos. Once we find out, once Shimon finds out that Reuven was acting on his behalf, he's very, very happy about it, and we have a right to be dan l'mafreya. It's as if he was nichalei l'mafreya, and if it was nichalei l'mafreya, it's as if there was a minui shlichos. So if that's your understanding of what Zechiyah is all about, it's a understood minui shlichos without a formal minui shlichos. It's a retroactively self-understood minui shlichos. So then I understand what zechiyah mitam shlichos really means. So the Ktzos presents this, and he immediately dispels this notion. He says nobody could say such a thing. That is not what zechiyah mitam shlichos means. What is the problem with understanding zechiyah mitam shlichos in that way? So yadua, there is a machlekes amaroim in Maseches Bamitzia Daf Chof Aleph. If it's not yadua to you, then you probably didn't go to sixth grade, because everybody learned Elam Metzias at one time or another, no matter where you went. Whether you go to the modern schools, go to yeshiva, everybody learns Elam Metzias somewhere along the picture. So your average kid, when the age of 10, thinks that all of Gemara is Yir Shlo Midas. That's usually about as far as you get. It takes three plots, and usually don't get too far. So Yir Shlo Midas, the yadua, the machlekes, the bayin rav, the following. There is a din that if I lose something, if Kozman, there was a misyayish from it, so if you pick it up, you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. But if I was misyayish from it already, then you're no longer mechuyev in Hashavas Aveda. Once I give up hope, then you're no longer mechuyev in Hashavas Aveda. How do we know that? Where does that come from? Is it as far as Apostle, Rashi, Taisi, Yushava? You got to learn Elam Tzias more but even than in sixth grade to figure out the answer to that question. But the bottom line is, there's a parasha, there's a din of the Torah of Yush. Once the Baal HaAveda is Mesiyayish, then the Meitzes HaAveda has the right to pick it up. It could be Zoich on it. What would the din be in the following case? Let's say somebody loses something. Reuven loses something, and he wasn't Mesiyayish yet. Why wasn't Mesiyayish yet? Because he didn't even know that he lost it. But if he would have known that he lost it, then he would have for sure been Mesiyayish. How do we know he would have for sure been Mesiyayish? Because he said, Dovish Ein B'Simin. He lost $10. He has no idea how is he ever going to get the $10 back. What's he going to give a simon on? But the problem is, he wasn't Mesiyayish because he didn't know that he lost it. So now, in a Reuven loses something, loses the money, and now Shimon wants to pick it up now, knowing full well that Reuven doesn't know about it. Can Shimon pick it up and be Zeichlin or not? So L'chorer, the answer is no. That's Kedem Yush. That's picking up the Aveda Kedem Yush. It's not going to be Taifes. You have no right to do that. So comes Rav with a Gevalt Kichadish. Rav says that even though right now, by Sheo Shom, the Baal Aveda wasn't Mesiyayish yet, but when he finds out about it, he's clearly going to be Mesiyayish. No question he's going to be Mesiyayish. So once he's Mesiyayish in the future, that Yush is Chal Mafreya, because since right now there's a lack of knowledge of the item being an Aveda, but if and when he finds out about it, he's going to be Mesiyayish. That's also good. That's called Yush Lomidas. So the Rav holds that Yush Lomidas have a Yush. And Abaye disagrees and says, no, Yush Lomidas is lo have a Yush. You cannot say Nichus Lomafreya. You cannot say that he had Ratzel Lomafreya to be Mesiyayish from this item. That's a raging machlaikas between Abaye and Rava. So it is clear from the Gemara in Eilam Metzias that that machlaikas is not limited to Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara compares this to many, many other areas in terms of Hilchas Tumah and Hilchas Trumas and other areas, because in other areas of Halacha where the same Shaila comes up, namely, do we accept this principle called Nichus Lomafreya or not? What I didn't know about before, if and when I find out, can we say Lomafreya, I would have actually agreed to it. So comes the Ketzos and says, Zechiyah Mitab Shlichos cannot be based on an Ichus Lomafreya. We cannot say that it's Ki'ilu Yu Ameman Him as a Shaliach. That would be good if we accepted Rava. But we don't pass like Rava. This is one of the Yachagams. This is one of the six cases where we pass like Abaye. That Yush Lomidas Lohav Yush. So Nichus Lomafreya Lo Yamrinan. If Nichus Lomafreya Lo Yamrinan, so then a shlichus l'mafreya, mean a shlichus l'mafreya, nor mean it either. So that cannot be what zechiyah mitab shlichus means. So what does it mean? If it doesn't mean that, so what does it mean? So the Ketzai says, all it means is as follows. There are two parashas in the Torah of doing things on behalf of other people. There's the parasha of shlichus, that's learned out from Sukhim, Tarimu Gamatem, v'shelach v'shulcha, v'shelach t'chol l'asu v'shulcha, ben arbayim, sugiz and kedush tachmim ha'alf. Then there's another parasha in the Torah of zechiyah, which is maybe based on other Sukhim, kedush tachmim beis. There are two different parashas in the Torah. So do we say that although these parashas are different from one another, one isn't with a minui and one's without a minui, do we say that all the limitations of shlichus spill over to zechiyah as well? Do we say that just as the Torah said that there are certain cases where shlichus doesn't apply, whatever those cases are, akum, katan, you name it, you plug in the details, whatever details the shlichus were given to us, where shlichus fails us, do all those psulim, so to speak, all those inabilities to apply shlichus, do they spill over to zechiyah or not? So if you accept that zechiyah is mitab shlichus, the answer is yes. That even though these two pashas are different, zechiyah mitab shlichus does not mean that zechiyah works through the vehicle of shlichus. What zechiyah mitab shlichus means is that all the ikuvim in nuchah shlichus apply to nuchah zechiyah as well. But nobody ever would argue that zechiyah is mamish mitab shlichus, that ke'ilu there was a minoy lemafreya, because minoy lemafreya would run into a problem of yush lemidas lohavid yush. So notwithstanding this razzle-dazzle reinterpretation of zechiyah mitab shlichus, if you look at some Mishnayim, they don't say this. Rashi doesn't sound this way. Rashi sounds like zechiyah mitab shlichus means the real thing, that it's ke'ilu the person was reminded of the shlich. What do you do with yush lemidas? I have no idea. You go back to sixth grade to figure out what do yush lemidas. But the Ketzos redefines what zechiyah mitab shlichus means. So no matter how you slice it, whether you think that zechiyah mitab shlichus the way the Ketzos says it, or the way others thought it meant, the bottom line is Tosfos is the biggest supporters of this idea. They're the biggest believers of zechiyah mitab shlichus, and that's what gets themselves into trouble. That's why they get into a problem. Why you can't have zechiyah for a katan the same way you can't have shlichus for a katan. How did Tosfos know zechiyah mitab shlichus? What Gemara prompted Tosfos to say this? So this is a sugya in Maseches Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara has a Don't worry that I'm coughing. I'm just like choking on something that I had before. So don't you get that nervous. So the Gemara Maseches Nedarim on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis has the following shayla. Ter mishlosh chaveray tzarech daito ein tzarech daito. I want to be a really, really nice guy. I see that you have a lot of tevel, and I want to be mafresh truma on your behalf. But I'm going to be a really super duper nice guy, and I'm going to take my fruit, which is also tevel, to pot to your fruit. So I got my apples and your apples, my apples to tevel, your apples to tevel. I'm going to take some of my apples, and he and Mucham Zuma are going to be mafresh him to pot to your stuff. So in theory, I could do that, except for the fact that I wasn't authorized to do so. So the Gemara wants to know, do I have a right to do that or not? Tari Mishlom Shechavero, true Masa Truma, ain't true Masa Truma. What's the Shaila? So the Gemara says, the Shaila is, am I doing you a favor or not? Can we hide behind Zachalem Shalom Befanav or not? What's the Svar? The Svar is the Kalakad. So on the one hand, you could say, I'm doing you a big favor, I'm saving you money. If you would have done it yourself, you would have had to lose all your apples, so I'm doing you a big toiva. On the other hand, I'm stealing a mitzvah from you. You want to do mitzvahs yourself. You don't want me to to steal your mitzvahs. So the Gemara is not sure. Psychologically, is that called the zchus, not called the zchus? Back and forth, rai is kan lakan. Is that called the zchus or not? So on this spot, Taisa Maseches Nedarim raises the question. Say, wait a second. Even zolzayim, it's a zchus. Even if it's a zchus, how in the world can I be mafresh trumu without your authorization? The Gemara says in Kedushin of Mem Aleph, you cannot be mafresh for somebody else. The only way you can dream of being mafresh for somebody else is only through the parasha shlichus. Atem gam atem. The Torah says atem gam atem. The rabba shluchachem. If and when you're a shliach, then you have a right to be mafresh shuma for somebody else. So Frank takes a kasha. What's the Gemara drawing us a cop about? Is it a zechiah? Nishta zechiah. Even if it's a zechiah, it's still not going to work because there was no minu shlichos. It's not invoking the parasha shlichos. So who cares whether psychologically the guy's happy or the guy's miserable? Even Zolzani's happy, it's still a problem because it's Torah v'sheinu shaloi. That was the kasha Torah says. So Torah says, happen from there, you see from here that zechiah must be mitam shlichos because it's inconceivable to ever have a scenario of hafrashas truma for somebody else without invoking the parasha of shlichos. So if the Gemara is willing to entertain the possibility of zechiah working, if the facts are right, if it is a zchus, so that must be a raya brew that zchiz mitam shlichos. That's a small, tiny taisus in the Darm Daf Lamed Vav on the base. And this is again part of Tosfos' theory, because Tosfos was convinced of that Gemara Nedarim, therefore they posed the question, Sanhedrin, Subis, how does Gekotan work? So truth to be told, there are Rishayim who disagreed with Tosfos. So first and foremost, the Rishayim who say that Raya, the Gemara is Nishkin Raya Bechlau, that's the Rashba Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav. The Rashba says that Gemara, on Daf Lamed Vav Amabez, is not even in the ballpark for Tosfos' discussion for the following reason. Rashba says that b'medivam amurim, that you require shlichos to be mafresh from somebody else's truma, that's when I want to be mafresh using his tevel. I want to use his fruit. I want to take away his payers, so that I have no koyach to do unless I have a formal shlichos. And says the Rashba, for that, takazachi is not going to work. I can't, even if it's a gewaldic zechi, it's unbelievably beneficial for somebody. I want to do the guy the greatest type in the world. The guy's going to be jumping off the rooftops. He is so excited for what I'm doing, but he doesn't know about it yet. The Rashba says, I cannot go into his property and take his fruit away without having an express minu shlichus. Zechiah is not going to work to take away somebody else's fruit. The only reason why in the Darm Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara is willing to entertain the possibility of zechiah working is because I'm taking my fruit. I'm not taking his fruit. So when I'm taking my fruit, I don't need shlichus for that. For that, all I need is zechiah. So that's the Gemara Sofik. Is this a zechus or is not a zechus? You have to figure out psychologically. Is the guy happy? Is the guy not happy? Again, you can be mafalpo with that. But in terms of love, if the guy's happy, then the hafreshes truma is going to work. So the Rashba just opened up a world for us. The Rashba just told us that the Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav is not saying zechiah b'tam shlichus. That's not the correct conclusion to draw like Taisus did. Because the Gemara in the Flamed Vav is talking about the one quirk of a case where you don't need shlichus for Frosh Shuma. Because you're not taking the other fellow's property, you're taking your fruit. So whenever you're taking your fruit, there never was a din of shlichus altogether. Al zeh nemar zechiah. But to take away the other guy's fruit, lo shavana dav zeh me'olam. So chapi, you tremendous stuff coming in the din between Tais and the Rashba. If I know for a fact that this guy would be thrilled for me to take his fruit, but he never told me to do so, according to Tais, I could take it. According to Taisa, Zechiah is mitam shlichus. If shlichus works for freshest truma, then Zechiah works for freshest truma. And there's no difference taking my fruit or his fruit. According to the Rashba, to take the other guy's fruit without a mina shlichus, that's out of the question. The only thing I can do is I can take my fruit without a mina shlichus. If it's Zechiah, you have someone that question before. Yeah.
Where you're taking truma from his crops onto his own crops,
Right, so that's the Chiddush HaTorah of Elohat Torah B'She'en HaShalai. So we're going to see in a second what the exact Hagdara is, what the difference, when Shlichus works, when Zechiyah works. We'll see in a second, we'll find through the Rashba. So it is the famous Yisrael, the Rashba. The Rashba disagrees with Taisis Raya. The Rashba disagrees with Taisis Raya, and therefore, according to the Rashba, it's very possible that Zechiyah is Taka La'amitam Shlichus. What exactly is the Shittas HaRashba? How do we define properly the Shittas HaRashba? The Rashba is giving you almost like two different scenarios. When I'm mafresh my fruit, so then I can go down the root of Zechiyah. When I'm mafresh somebody else's fruit, then I have to go down the root of Shlichus. What's the difference between the two? So the Ktzos formulates the following term, coined the following phrase that became very popular in the Olam HaYeshivas. Some Achorim say it doesn't exist, but it still became, not the first, not the last thing that became popular, that may not exist. But the Ktzais formulated the following, you said, that it's almost a little bit of a play on the words. Zochen lo adam shaloi befanav. Zochen le adam arminan, zochen ne adam lo yamrinan. That the parish of zochen ne adam shaloi befanav always means that I am giving something to somebody. I am doing something beneficial to somebody. I'm granting them something. I am not taking away from them. I'm not removing something from them. I am always giving them something. That's the din of Zochen L'Yadim Shalei B'Fanav. If and when I want to take away from somebody, I can no longer go down the route of Zochen L'Yadim Shalei B'Fanav. The only authority I have to take away something from somebody is to have their haskama beforehand. But their haskama beforehand translates to mean is a mean of Shalichus. So that's what the Ktzos explains, what the Rashba is driving at. That if I want to take away his fruit, so then I can invoke Zochen lo adam shalei befanav, because that's Zochen me adam, and Zochen me adam lo yamrinan. If I want to take away my fruit to pat to him, so that's a Zochen lo adam. I'm not taking anything away from him, so I'm not trespassing on his property. I'm taking away his fruit. I'm taking away my fruit, so then I can go down the regular roots of Zochen lo adam shalei befanav. So that's the Hagdara that the Rashba, that the Ktzos gives, but that's the Rashba. It's based on this Rashba that the Ktzos turned the entire world upside down. He turned down, I don't think the Ktzos even realized at the time that he was turning the entire world of Hashkochas into a crisis mode with the following Ha'ara. So there is a Tshuva in the Tshumas Hadeshen. Tshumas Hadeshen was a Rav in Germany in the early 1400s or so, before the time, right before the time of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So to his Hadesh, had a lot of Gevaldik Shailas. It was Meridik Shailas. You know why he had the greatest Shailas? Because he made them up. Because he had Shtichot Torahs that he wanted to say. So he made believe, like someone's asking him a Shaila, and then he answered the Shaila to give a whole Shaila, like what I do sometimes. On Friday nights, so I give my Halacha, Shaila of the week between Mincha Ma'ariv. So 99% of the time it's a real Shaila. When I'm desperate on Friday afternoon, there is no Shaila, so I ask myself the Shaila, and then I turn it into a Shaila. So Tuz Edition did that every week. He made up his own Shailas. That's why he has the most labor-digger cases. You think, well, he must have had the most wildest Balabatim. You never such wild Balabatim. Some regular guys, a bunch of Yekis in the 1400s in Europe, they weren't so wild. But he made up the great Shaila, so he had great Shikul Teres. So he discusses the following question. He says that you have a woman who's baking bread, getting her doughs ready, and she has a mishareses in the house. She has a woman who's helping her out, a Jewish woman. She has a teenage girl who's helping her clean up the house and then help cook in the kitchen, etc. And the woman's getting her dough ready, and she's about to be mafresh challah, and then she realizes she has to go run out for something. So I guess we want to make the shaila more modern day. She's got to go run carpool. She's got to go run kids to the doctor. She got to go run out of the house. So she runs out of the house. And she tells the mishareses, "I'll be back in a couple of hours. You finish, finish the work in the kitchen, whatever it is." So the mishareses realizes that, wait a second, hafreshes challah didn't take place yet, and she realizes that we really better do this hafreshes challah right now. Why? Because if we don't do it now, the dough is going to spoil. It's going to have a whole she has all shikul Torah. Why? She can't wait for the woman to come back, so she wants to go ahead on her own and be mafresh challah. So that's a big problem, because even though she's Jewish, that's a huge problem, because she wasn't authorized to do so. Now, challah is challah tarim usruma. Challah is like truma. So you can't be mafresh challah, you can't be mafresh truma without being a shaliach. Temelo atarim ishein shaloi. So the Tzadashin raises the question, can this mishareses, can this elzeret, this Jewish girl in the house, go ahead and be mafresh challah without having the... Has anyone ever figured out why they always mow the lawns at 12 o'clock? We it's like lahachis, like they always come, I don't know why. There are like eight lawns in the block and they all mow the lawn at 12 o'clock. So
So this Mishareses is about to be Mafresh Challah, and then she realizes, oh, she's a very lumdish young lady. She learned in seminary, Kiddush Nachman Beis, but Nachman Beis, well, she can't do that. I can't be Mafresh Challah without express authorization from the Balas Habayis. So Bizman Azeh wouldn't be such a big deal. Bizman Azeh should just text the Balas Habayis and ask him, please appoint me to appoint to be Mafresh Challah. She can't do that. So what's she going to do? So the Tumas Hashem says it's okay. She could still be Mafresh Challah. Why? Because it's a gewaltige schus to be Mafresh Challah. Why is it a gewaltige schus to be Mafresh Challah? Because otherwise the dough is going to spoil, the bread's going to get ruined, everything's going to go wrong. So there's no doubt in our minds that the Balas Habayis would be very, very happy that the Mishareses is being Mafresh Challah on her behalf. She won't accuse her of stealing her mitzvah. She'd be thrilled. She'd give her a pat on the back when she comes home. Thank you so much for being Mafresh Challah for me. I clearly would have told you to do so if I would have known about it. So the Tumas Hashem says, no problem. How does he know no problem? I am Nidarm, Naflam and Babam and Beis. But the Gemara says that Zachan Yadam Shlomofanov would have worked for Farshas Truma, just that in Nidarm, Lam and Bab, we're not 100% sure that it's a schus. But if and when the facts would be that it is a schus, so then there would be nothing wrong with it. It would be all four being Mafresh Challah based on the principle of Zachan Shlomofanov, because as we all know, Zachir is Bitam Shlichus. That's what the Tumas Hashem says. So the Ktzois quotes this Tumas Hashem, and he says that he's very, very weary to disagree with it. The reason why he's very weary is because the Ramah quotes it LaHalacha Nuchas Challah, and he says the Taz and all the Nasi Kalim paskin like this Tumas Hashem, but he says he does not sure that it's right. He thinks that this Tumas Hashem depends on the Machlokes Tais and the Rashba. But if you hold Zechiyah's Bitam Shlichus, so then any and every time it's a Zechiyah, you can use Zechiyah to be Mafresh Challah, Mafresh Truma. But if you hold that Zechiyah's La'am Bitam Shlichus, so the only reason why it works in the Darm on Daf Lamed Vav is because you're separating your fruit to Pata, the other person's fruit. But the minute that you want to impinge upon their fruit, the minute that you want to take away their dough, the Mishareses doesn't own the dough. The Balas Habayis owns the dough. So you want to take away the Balas Habayis' dough, so for that you need shlichus, because Zochen lo Adam Amrinan, Zochen me Adam lo Amrinan. So you have no right to do so unless you have a formal shlichus. And you don't have a formal shlichus. You don't have a formal shlichus. So the whole Afresh Chal is Batla Mavuto. So that's what the Ktzoi says. He's afraid to paskin against this, but he doesn't think, he's not so sure that it's right. He thinks that it depends on the Machlekes Tais and the Rashba. Why does this wreak havoc with our entire institution of Ashgachas today? Because we have this problem in all of our bakeries. So in the bakery, the general setup of Afresh Chal is that usually Mashkiach comes in at some point whenever the doughs are being made and starts to do Afresh Chal. So who exactly appointed this Mashkiach to be Mafresh Chal? The Bala Bayis appointed him to be, but the owner of the bakery appointed him. When did the owner of the bakery appoint him to be Mafresh Chal? I mean, 6 months ago when he hired him as a Mashkiach, so he wrote in his contract, your job is to be Mafresh Chal. The Gemara says in Maseches Nazir that you can't be Mamana Shliach on something that's a Dovah Shalom Aliyoyla. So let's say a person is not married yet, so they're going to say to a guy, I'm appointing you, if and when I get married, I'm appointing you as a Shliach to divorce my wife. You're not married yet. First, wait till you get married, then divorce your wife. So you can't appoint a Shliach on something that doesn't exist yet. So the Gemara says in Nazir that you can't appoint a Shliach to be Mafresh Chal if there's no dough here yet. It's not Chayv and Chal yet. What's Fashal Mina Shliach? Is that? It's like a Dovah Shalom Aliyoyla. So now we have a huge problem. Here the owner of the bakery is Mamana the Mashkiach to be Mafresh Chal, but there's no dough yet. So Elowa, every time that there's a new dough, the Balabayas, the owner of the bakery has to call the Mashkiach again and tell him Nachamol to be Mafresh Chal, that's gonna be a big hassle. Half the time the baking is done at 3 o'clock in the morning. So the Mashkiach is in at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's gonna wake up the Balabayas every time, please text me to be Mamana to be a Shaliach. That's not gonna be so practical. The Balabayas is on a vacation somewhere. He doesn't want the owner of the bakery, he doesn't want to be bothered with calling texting the Mashkiach every 5 minutes. So that'll be a big problem. So then you don't really have a formal Mina Shlichus. So how does that work? So the answer is the Tumas Hashem, based on the Ramah. Of course it's good, because obviously the bakery wants this to work. The owner of the bakery wants to be under Ashkach. He wants the RCBC to approve its Ashkacha. So then obviously Afresh Chal has to be taken care of. So it's clearly nichale to the Baal of the bakery that this should be taking place. So this is no worse than the case of the Mishareses. So some poskim can raise the red flag and say, wait a second, this system that we have in place in all of our bakeries makes a lot of sense according to the view of the Ramah and the Tumas Hashem and the Tosfos and Zechiyah is Bitam Shlichus. But if you hold that Zechiyah is La'amitam Shlichus, so then Zochen Mei Adam Lo Yamrinon, how in the world is this going to work? So that may be a problem. Other folks can try to explain why it's not a problem. The Minhag HaOlam is that it's not a problem. We all assume that's not a problem. So either we don't accept this Ktzoisa's Rashba, or we have some other way to finagle around why maybe it would still be good even according to the Shita of the Rashba. But the Ktzois did raise a red flag based on this Rashba, based on this understanding of what's going on in the Sugya of Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus. So back to the story. We're back to the Sugya of Geirus. So we're back to Tosfos, back to square one. how in the world do we have Geiris of a Ger Katan if Tosis convinced both in Nedarim and in Ksubis and in Sanhedrin that Tchia is Mitam Shlichos? Ein Shlichos a Katan, Ein Tchia a Katan. So Tosis, in the end of this long, long Tosis, turns the world upside down. And Tosis says, you know, we've been working for the last 3 days with the mistaken premise that in order to be Megayer and Ger Katan, you don't really need Tchia. You don't really need Zoch Levashor B'Fanav. We've been trying to solve the problem of Zechiyah. There was never a problem in the first place. Why is there no problem? Zechiyah, Zoch Tosis, means when I want to do a mice on behalf of somebody else. I want to pick up a gift on behalf of Pliny. So you have to come on to the parish of Zoch Levashor B'Fanav. Over here by Ger Katan, I'm not doing anything on behalf of Pliny. Pliny's doing it on behalf of himself. The Ger is going into the mikvah. The Ger is getting a bris milah. This child, this Gerish child, himself is undergoing a ma'aseh geirus. So when the child is undergoing a ma'aseh geirus, so what do you need Zoch Levashor B'Fanav for? Says it's working on its own. Nasa geirus begufa shel katan. So if it's nasa geirus begufa shel katan, forget Zoch Levashor B'Fanav. Forget Zoch Levashor B'Fanav. That's the greatest solution to the problem. The problem with this Tosis is it's legamre guilty, what we call overkill. Tosis is so great, it tells us so gavaldic, the Gemara in Ksubas falls flat on its face. The Gemara in Ksubas, Tafir Aleph, says, how does Ger Katan work? Based on Zoch Levashor B'Fanav. According to Tosis, that you don't need Zoch Levashor B'Fanav anymore, so then it works based on Nasa Geres B'Guba Shal Katan. So what in the world is Tosis talking about? Tosis say that Ger Katan has nothing to do with Zochin. The Gemara says the Feirish has everything in the world to do with Zochin. So Tosis comes up with a fascinating solution to that Gemara. Tosis says that you have to differentiate between the mechanism of a given halacha, what halachic principles are in place to explain how a certain halacha works, and reasons why we're willing to invoke those halachic premises. So this is a very, very important yisoy, both in terms of learning and in terms of understanding a little bit the hashkafa of the halacha. So you take a step back for a minute to give a little bit of introduction to this Tosis, to understand exactly what the yisoy of Tosis is. It's a mistake that's commonly made. This is a mistake. Whenever you read these silly articles that are written by people who don't understand b'chlal about how halacha works, so you see this mistake made time and time again. So you have to understand this yisoid in order to understand Tosis and to understand not to write foolish articles. So I'll give you the following background. So Usher, what are we going to talk about now? The atom bomb theory? The atom bomb theory. Okay, everyone know about the atom bomb? Okay, so I'll ask you the following question, all right? Why does the atom bomb explode? Someone give me a very, very quick one sentence, one equation. Why does the atom bomb explode?
E equals MC squared.
Thank you. Was that Mr. Alter? It sounded like the familiar voice. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Alter, the lawyer in the audience on Zoom, is here to report to us that the reason why the atom bomb explodes is because E equals MC squared. So I'm going to give you another reason why the atom bomb explodes. Listen carefully. The atom bomb explodes because on December 7th, 1941, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. That's why the atom bomb explodes. So anyone's going to say, Rabbi Sablowski, you know nothing about science nor about history. So what does that have to do with anything? So what mistake did I just make? I made the following mistake. It is very, very possible that if Japan would not have attacked America, and there never would have been, a need to drop an atom bomb, so then it's very possible that America would not have expended, billions of dollars in the Manhattan Project. Everyone knows what I'm talking about? Okay, guys, a little history one time. Manhattan Project was the name of the project, the top secret project that was building the atom bomb. So it's very possible that if America was never in World War II, if there never would have been a World War II, so then America never would have bothered wasting the time and money and effort to create an atom bomb. And it's very possible, maybe we wouldn't have a nuclear bomb. I don't know, I'm not a novice, I can't rewrite history, but it's very possible that we wouldn't have had an atom bomb exploding on the end of 1945. That's very, very probable. But the existence of World War II in the Pacific is not how the atom bomb explodes. It is a background. It is a historical reality to explain what the conditions necessary were for us to bother to figure out the science as to how the bomb's going to explode. But if Lemaisev E does not equal MC squared, the bomb's not going to explode. It's not going to work. You can have war from today till for another 100 years. It's not going to work. It has to be a science in the lab where it works. So that was the Rav's famous marshal. The Rav said, Lahavdil in the world of Torah also. You have to be very, very careful that very often there are certain sociological needs and economic needs and political needs, and there's a whole agenda, there's a whole culture that necessitates a certain solution to a problem. So here, there was a war against Japan. There was a certain need. We got to create, we got to find a solution to the problem. But just because there's a need doesn't mean the solution works. The solution has to work in the lab. It's got to work on the blackboard. If the equation doesn't, if the numbers don't add up, says Gornish Gehelfin, all the needs from today to tomorrow are not going to solve the problem. So there has to be a mechanism that works, that has to work scientifically. It's got to work properly. So too, in the world of Allah, it has to work halachically. It's not enough just to say, we have a tremendous need. We have a big sociological, economic, military, political need or something. So let's just make believe, hocus pocus, that the bomb explodes. Hocus pocus that the halach is mutter. Everything's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because we need it to be mutter. That's not the way things work. If you have a certain need, then you have to go to the Gemara, go to the Rishonim, go to the Shulchan Aruch, go to the Sugyas, go figure out lamdas, and figure out, is this a good halachic solution or not? If the halachic solution doesn't add up, because the equation does that, because the equation is not balanced, so it's not going to work. You can't just say, I have economic need, and therefore everything's mutter. You have an economic need, so then go to the table, go to the base medrash, and go figure out how to solve that economic need properly. So that's what Tois is saying, exactly. That Moshe. Read this Tois in Sanhedrin, you got to think of the atom bomb. It's exactly what Tois is saying. When the Gemara says that Ger Kotlin is based on Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav, that does not mean that Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav is the halachic mechanism for why Ger Kotlin works. Because quite frankly, says Tois, that would be a poor mechanism. That mechanism would fail us. It wouldn't work. Because Ger Kotlin cannot be based on the halachic mechanism of Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav, because it will fail us, because Chiyas B'Tam Shlichus, and there's no Shlichus for Kotlin, no Chiyas for Kotlin. So what is the halachic mechanism? That's the different mechanism. That's the mechanism that doesn't appear in the Gemara. What's the halachic mechanism? Naaseh Geirus, Beguf Shel Kotlin, the one that Tyson Sanhedrin makes up. That since the Geirus is taking place with the child of the baby, the baby's body is going into the mikvah, that's all you need. That's all there is. There ain't no more. That Naaseh Geirus, Beguf Shel Kotlin, that's the halachic mechanism for why the Geirus works. So what's the Gemara draining us a cup with Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav? Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav is why we're doing this in the first place. Not how we're doing it, but why are we doing it? What is the grandiose need to go ahead and take a non-Jewish baby and throw him into the mikvah? What are we doing, these silly things? We have nothing better to do with that time. Basically, there's nothing else to do with the time of being Megayer little children. At first glance, you're doing the guy a big disservice. What are you being Megayer for? Let him remain a non-Jew. So the answer is no, it's a nice thing to do. Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav, it's a good thing to do. It's good to be Jewish, right? It's good to be a Yid. How's the song go? Kishmak to be something like that. Okay, we'll also get together at some time. So it's great to be Jewish. So because it's great to be Jewish, therefore we're doing the guy the greatest type in the world and making him Jewish. Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav. We don't mean Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav of halacha. We need Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav of sociology. We need Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav of educational benefits for this child. We need Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav of the world of Ashkof and Machshava. This is not a halacha shit. It's not a gemara shit. You want to know how it works, how the Geirus works? Taisa says, let me tell you how the Geirus works. Why we're wasting our time doing this, that's what the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph is addressing. So that's a whole nother world of learning that sugya. Before the Taisa and Sanhedrin came along, everybody else thought that the Gemara, Taisa themselves thought this way until they got to the last line of the big Taisa, that Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav is the mechanism for the Geirus, and Taisa threw their hands up and ran to a brick wall and said, the taka doesn't work. The mechanism fails us. The equation, the equation doesn't is not balanced. It doesn't work. The bomb's not going to explode. It's a dud. So Taisa says, because you misunderstood the Gemara. The Gemara is not talking about the mechanism. The real mechanism is the mechanism we're telling you. Naaseh Geirus B'Guf Shel Kotlin. The Gemara is just talking about for what sociological, educational, philosophical reasons we're doing these crazy things of throwing little babies into the mikvah. So that's a whole other world of disfigure. So we're going to present from now the Machlokes Taisa and Sanhedrin against, we'll call it the Rashba. You know why we'll call it the Rashba? Because the Rashba doesn't have to come on to this Taisus. The Rashba can learn the Gemara Kepshutai, that Zechia is Lam Mitam Shlichus, and therefore, even though there's no Shlichus for Kotlin, there is Zechia for Kotlin. The Rashba in the Darim Lam Advav doesn't have to say such a Mechudish Tikavot in the Gemara Kepshutai, the Rashba can learn the Gemara Kepshutai. So we're going to present it now as Machlaikis HaRishainim. If you hold that Zechia is Mitam Shlichus, then you have to come on to this wild Taisus. If you hold that Zechia, I don't mean in a bad way, wild, just mean very Mechudish Tikavot. If you hold that Zechia is Lam Mitam Shlichus, then you can learn conventional wisdom that it works based on Zechia. So you have to now test this theory. You have two alternate theories that have to explain how Ger Kotlin works. Is it based on Zoch L'Adam Shel B'Fonav, or is it based on Naaseh Geirus B'Guf Shel Kotlin? So how do you test which theory is correct? So those have been in my Shia know. We have these two different theories. You got to go back to the lab. This is Torah 101. You got to go back to the lab and you have to test it. What's the lab? No? What's the lab? What's the lab, Asher? Shas is the lab, right? You have to test every Gemara, every single Gemara in Shas, and figure out which theory is right. Is Tyson Sanhedrin's theory right, that Ger Kotet is based on Nasa Ger Shal Kotet? Or is the Rashba's theory right, that Ger Kotet is based on Zoch Ler Shal Befanim? So you have to test through all of Shas. How do you test Shas? So we've said this over in our regular Shia many, many times, that some of the guys who've been around Zoom have been around in my Shia for a while, so Meichel, if I say the same Marshal every time, some of the new, for the new guys also. So there are two different ways how to test theories, right? There are two different ways. There's the old way and the new way, okay? So the new way, the newfangled way is you Google. And you just Google, you know, Ger Kotet, Zoch Shal Befanav, and then all the Maramakimus and all Kotet are Kula Shal in front of you. So that's the newfangled way of doing it, but there's a much, much better way of doing it. That was the old way of doing it. This is the old way of doing it. There was a certain Rosh Yeshiva who, before he would start to say Shia, so he would stop for a minute. He'd come to stand by the shtender, stop for a minute. Good, better to say Shia. So finally, when Tamid finally had the chutzpah, they asked the Rebbe, you know, my height. So he said, before he would start Shia, he just wanted to chazen and make sure there was nothing in any mesechta that was contradicting what he was about to say. So he went to brachas, name, Shabbos, name, Erevin, Pesach, Mevavakam, Pesin. Okay, good, now it's time to say Shia. So the only way to know whether a theory is right is you have to test it against Kol HaTarakula. If it passes the test, then the theory is right. If it fails, it's like the lab, you run a lab. Sometimes we have these grandiose experiments. We think it's going to work, we think it's going to work, but then you have to Lamaisa run a test, and it doesn't work. So then the whole theory is wrong. So which theory is the correct one? Is Tyson Sanhedrin's theory correct, that Ger Kotlin is based on Nasa Geir Spukufish Kotlin, or is the Rashba's theory correct? It's based on Zochlam Shlev Befanav. So here we don't have to work so hard, because we don't have to check all Kol Tarakula. We just have to simply look at Ksuba Stafid Aleph. That's all. So Ksuba Stafid Aleph and Aleph will already give us the secret. The Gemara tells us something very, very strange about Ger Kotlin, something bizarre about Ger Kotlin, and that is, we just beguiled this little kid, and now a few years later, it's about to turn bar mitzvah, all of a sudden, the child has the ability to be meicha, the child can undo, can unravel the entire Geirus. What a wild thing, never heard of such a thing. Imagine a person converts at the age of 25, and then when he turns 50, he says, you know what, it's been nice the last 25 years, the next 25 years I want a different religion. The Gemara says that once you're a guy, you're done, finished, you're stuck for life being Jewish. It's not a decision you can retract from later on. So Geirus can never be unraveled. So how in the world does the Gemara say, what kind of din is that? What a strange halacha. So there is a Gemara in Bava Basra that tells us that whenever you have Zoch Lerem Shlo Befanov, so even though it's a schus, and let's say I want to give Reuven a gift. So Reuven's not raised in China. So I give it to Shimon, and I say to Shimon, pick it up on behalf of Reuven. So Shimon picks it up on behalf of Reuven, and then Reuven comes back a week later, he says, what, you gave me a gift? I don't want your gift, I don't want Meshubet Yoram. So what's the din? So once, when he finds out, when he reaches the understanding of what's going on, he has the ability to declare what we thought was a beneficial for him, is takanat. Even though it objectively appeared to us to be beneficial a week ago, but he has the right to veto that. He could say, subjectively for me, it's not his chos anymore. Once he declares it's not his chos, so then it's ois his chos, and then it igloy milsel mafreya, it never was a zochel in the first place, and the whole matana was boto meikara. So that's the befei v'shikamah, that's a partial like that. That once the person finds out, he could be oiker the entire chos. Only if he's oiker right away. Let's say he says thank you so much for the gift, and a week later he says maybe not. So that he can't do. Once he declares it's his chos, so then he's stuck with it for life unless he's mafked, etc. But Kozman, that he hasn't yet been agreed to receive this matana, he has the first dibs to veto whatever this chos was, and it makes a lot of sense. Because the whole parsha, Zoch Lerem Shlo Befanav, was assuming it was his chos. But if he's declaring it's a Nishkin's chos, so then it's not his chos. So you have the ability to unravel the entire Zechiyah. So according to the Rashba, according to Rav Rishayim, that the Gemara in Ksubas meant it literally, that Zoch Lerem Shlo Befanav is the halachic mechanism for the Geirus, so then I understand why he did the Chayim Limchos. Then it makes perfect sense why the fellow could unravel the Geirus. Because by unraveling the Geirus, what he's doing is, he's declaring, listen, you were very Nathanku based in, I was 5 years old, thank you for looking out for my best interest and making me Jewish. But you know what, I'm just turning 13 now, and I realize, wait a second, I don't want this. I got to get up for Shacharis. I got to get up every morning to put on tefillin. Okay, even if I dive at the 9:30 minute because it's COVID, so I got to on a post-bank picture, it's still a pain in the neck. What? I got to learn. Okay, I got to go to shiur on Zoom. Come on, this is not for me. I want to party all day. I want to go do whatever else I want to do. So I want to go to the bars. Okay, the bars are closed. I'll find the restaurant. The restaurants are closed. I'll find something to do that's mutarasa, whatever it is. So I'd rather be a goy rather than be a Jew. So if you hold that Zach Nashal Bafana was the mechanism for the Geira, so then the Gemara makes a lot of sense. So you can unravel the Geira. Easy come, easy go. But if Tosis is right, that the Geira was based on Naseha HaGeira, Begufa Shokotan, how in the world could the Katan unravel it? It was done already. It's finished Gemara. That was the psychological. That was the reason we consulted with the child psychologist who told us that it's beneficial for the child to do a geirus on him. That's not a halachic svara. That was a sociological assessment. The halachic svara, the mechanism, the equation on the board of Ger Kotan is Nasa Geirus Beguva Shel Kotan. So the game's over. What do you mean? How in the world can you be moicha? That's a big kasha. That's a huge kasha. So who asked this kasha? Toysis says kasha. Toysis themselves in the Yenisadan, he asks this kasha. Toysis says, I'll tell you what's going on. Toysis says, Nase Geiris Beguva Shel Kotan. That's true. That's true for all the parts of all the Chalachim of Geiris that were Nase Beguva Shel Kotan. What are the parts of Geiris that were Nase Beguva Shel Kotan? The Mila and the Tvila. But there's another part of Geiris, and that is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. So if you have a Geiris without Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, that's Dvar Petalim. So the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, wait a second, Toysis says, there wasn't Nase Geiris Beguva Shel Kotan. That didn't, there was no Gufa Shel Kotan on that. Who in the world was Makaba Mitzvahs for this child? It's a big pillar. Who was talking Makaba Mitzvahs for this child? What, the Beis Din was Makaba Mitzvahs? What's Toys Shita? There's no Zechir for Kotan. So who did Kabbalas HaMitzvahs for this child? There was a Geirus that took place with the Mila and the Tevila Chos of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Lo Yitochid, that should be a Geirus. So what does Toys says? You're right. You know when the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is going to happen? Catch this one. When the kid turns 13. When the girl turns 12, when they give little mitzvahs, and the kid goes to shul, and he puts on tefillin, and he keeps Shabbos, he keeps kosher, so that's a kabbalas mitzvahs. That's tantamount to be mekabel mitzvahs. Thus is the kabbalas mitzvahs. And that's when the geirus reaches completion. And in Ochinami, if the child is meiche, you know why the macha works? Not because the macha undoes the previous milu tefillah. You can't undo something that happened, says Tosis. Tosis is assuming there was no zochler from a fun up on the table anyway. You can't undo a physical ma'isa. The reason why gdilicha and limchais is because kol zman that is meicha, it's chasr in the kabbalas mitzvahs. If it's chasr in the kabbalas mitzvahs, so then you never had a geirus in the first place. That's what's going on. It's a different world. Tosis and Edward is talking a different language than the other rishonim. All the other Rishonim, led by the Rashba and other Rishonim, who are reading the Gemara Kepshutot, that Ger Kotan is based on Zach L'Amshal B'Fonim, and therefore it's subject to all the rules of Dili Mamunas of Zach L'Amshal B'Fonim, and a Macha can be Oikid Eschos, and therefore Dili Chan Mimchos, and finished. And it retroactively undermines the Geiris. Masha'in Kain, according to Tosfos, that it's not based on Zachar Shalafanim, because the Chias Mitam Shlicha, so it cannot possibly be based on Zachar Shalafanim. It's based on Nasa, the Gufo, Geirus, Gufo, Shalkotan. So the only part that's not Nasa was the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. So Taka Nochinami, Taka Chos, the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs.
The part of Tosfos, what's that kid's status?
Oh, so I knew Zach's going to ask me that kasha. Someone's going to ask me this kasha. What is this kid? The kid's 8 years old. What is he? Is he Jewish or not Jewish? So according to all the other Rishonim, his Geirus is pending. That means everything is assuming that it's going to be okay. We hope and pray when he turns 13, he's going to be happy. So then, Igloy Muslim afraid he was Jewish all along. Zochin Shabbat Befanav. According to all the other Rishonim, there was a Zochin on the Milan, Zochin on the Tefillah, Zochin on the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Everything was honky dory. There was Zochin Mitchila V'Yatzoif. As long as it's pending when he turns 13, that he's not Oikia. So Kozban, that he reaches by mitzvah and he's happy to be Jewish, then it turns out he was Jewish all along. But according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, he's not Jewish. The kid's not Jewish yet. Because Kozban didn't have Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. L'chaira, he's not Jewish. So if he's not Jewish, it turns out that he only becomes Jewish at the age of 13 and on. Now you may ask, so who cares? So he wasn't Jewish. I don't know. If he touched wine in the last 13 years, if he cooked food in the last 13 years, I'm not going to say if he got married in the last 13 years, he's under bar mitzvah, that can't matter. Did he count for a minion? Well, he's under bar mitzvah anyway. So there are very, very few things that can go wrong. But conceptually, it's a kind of hard thing to swallow. You're raising a non-Jewish kid in your house until he's 13. And at the age of 13, from here on in, the geirus becomes chav, basically. It's a very strange. What? He's under bar mitzvah, so he's not violating the yisur of goy shavas. I don't know. I'm not sure. He's actually asking a very long shikash. He's asking that according to the goyish standards, it becomes a mitzvah before 13. You're asking the chasam soifus shuvah and nachanah. Another kash. Yes. Oh, you mean according to Tosus, I mean, what's the case? It means at the end of the day, he dies now as a katan. So then Tosus just undermined their entire theory. Taka, what's the get katan there? I see here.
What?
You mean how are you letting your yuris get from a gyor? How can you marry her? You mean?
Yeah.
How can you marry her? Yeah, there's a lot of problems in this tesis. It's a big pal. It's a big, huge pal in this tesis.
Sure.
Unless we jumped the gun, maybe we went over a little bit. Maybe tesis holding is that they really are Jewish. Holds when the kabbalah semitzvah happens. So kabbalah semitzvah is chalim afreya. How does that work exactly? Is that a funny concept that the kabbalah semitzvah is going to be toifes lemafreya? It's a very, very strange idea. So you have to know a little bit about Geirus to appreciate that, right, Masha?
Just practically, why wouldn't we just do everything right when they turn
Bar Mitzvah?
Yeah.
What are we rushing ahead for? Right. So you have to say, because all the chumer, all these kashas, you have to say something along the lines that even according to Sanhedrin, this kid has conditions to throw somehow now also. And the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs are not going to impact on that, are not going to ruin that Lema Freya. Means even when he's Makabah Mitzvahs, they go and Milsi was Jewish all along. How does that work? I don't have any idea. Is that how it works? Oh, that's you're asking a whole other question. You're asking a Kash and Taisvahs, why does he even need Kabbalah and Mitzvahs? Maybe, but Medin. You mean Kolzman? So this is a Monday in Kolzman that he was under the age of a mitzvah, so he wasn't mechuyev mitzvahs. So you can't have a kabbalah mitzvah for someone who's not mechuyev mitzvahs. So he becomes Jewish. So I want a timeline over here. He became Jewish without kabbalah mitzvahs at the age of 5, and now when he turns 13, now he becomes chaser in kabbalah mitzvahs. So now he needs for mekalah haba kabbalah mitzvahs to be mashed the geiris. So you just told me that he was Jewish, and now he becomes non-Jewish again. So when he turns 13 and he says he doesn't want to keep mitzvah, so what happens? So he just went from having kedushas Yisrael to having ois kedushas Yisrael. That's like a new religion. That's like a very strange thing. Literally a new religion. I don't know. That's a very, very strange concept. I hear what you're saying. It's a huge problem. Unless you want to say something really, really razzle-dazzle, that you want to say that kabbalas ha-mitzvahs is not really a chelik of the geirus proper. There is a big machlekes rishayim about what the role of kabbalas ha-mitzvahs is in terms of geirus. The Rambam's lash in Uchzi Surabiyah is that kabbalas ha-mitzvahs is necessary almost as a prerequisite for geirus. It's the definition of geirus. The Rambam writes, kishe, yikonis tachas kashvashkin, vi yikavah lovel mitzvahs, then yimal v'tovel. The Rambam sounds like the mila and the tefillah are the maisei geirus, and the kabbalas ha-mitzvahs is almost like the hechet timtzum. We can't even begin to discuss geirus without it. So kol zman that he wasn't bar mitzvah, we didn't have to discuss it. There was nothing to discuss because he's ois chayav mitzvahs. Once he turns 13, so now we have to almost like reopen the discussion again. So now that we have to reopen the discussion, it could be that this person was never really a candidate for geirus in the first place. So it could be that when he's not makabel mitzvahs at the age of 13, it's a gloy milsim afreya was never real Jew. So a very, very funny kind of hagdara. So in Ochanami, kol zman that he's makabel mitzvahs, then he gloy milsim afreya, he really was Jewish all along. If you hold that kabbalas mitzvahs is mamish part of the maisa geirus, so how does that work? It's not nasa b'guf shel katan. There's no guf shel katan l'gabi kabbalas mitzvahs, and zechia doesn't work. So how does it work? So you have to say that it's not part of the Maisa Geirus. It's almost part of like the prerequisite for Geirus. That's a very, very shaky thing. Maybe that's the answer to Akasha. I'm not sure. Yes, I'm Akasha.
I think that answers the question. Why is the Mark Suvis, according to Tosfos, then say if you're on Mochet within like an hour or whatever, you automatically are Kabbalas Mitzvahs, but the status quo is right now you're not Jewish, then why if he's not Kabbalas Mitzvahs, does he automatically become Jewish?
You mean if means. But once you start to get older and you don't do anything, so that's like a kabbalas mitzvah.
But why?
Because it's assumed that means you turn 13, so you're davening, you're putting on tefillin, you're keeping kosher, so that is a kabbalas mitzvah. You don't need a formal pek kabbalas mitzvah. The fact that you're being noyig mitzvah, the Tosfos calls that a kabbalas mitzvah also.
Is that the assumption?
Yeah. It's like a watered down version of kabbalas mitzvah. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Anyway, so again, so this is very, very strange. So we have two very, very different ways of understanding what's going on in Ksubas Atir Aleph, only because we have two different ways of understanding what's Chiyuv B'Tam Shlichus. So we have the approach of, in a sense, conventional wisdom led by the Rashba, that Chiyuv is Lam B'Tam Shlichus, and therefore there is a Chiyuv for Kotam Midarais, and therefore you don't have to say any Torahs in Ksubas, everything is great, and the only way that the Geirus is this Batla Mafreya is the same way any other Chiyuv is this Batla Mafreya. But as you go down the root of Taisus and Sanhedrin, that there's no zchia going on here because there's all ktanim, so it's a different kind of a geira, so then you have to plug in a whole new vort into a gdil chayim limcho. So you have to really, really fine-tune that sugi a little bit, depending on what you think about zchia mitam shlichus. Remember, there's a din we mentioned before, the Gemara of the Masa. The Gemara says that by regular din in Mamanis, so for sure you can undo zchia. That's not a question. If I want to give a gift to Reuven, so Reuven comes back a week later, and he says, I don't really want the gift, so you can for sure be accurately my friend. That's Kuliyam Lepligi. So I'll tell you, I'll give you a good application, this good illustration. This goes back to my days back in the dorm. This was, I don't know which years it was, back in the early 90s, okay, way before any of you guys were born. Maybe Usher, 92, okay, it was probably around the year 92 or so. So it was a couple of days before Pesach, and my illustrious roommate, who many of you know, but which I remain nameless, one of my many illustrious roommates, so he was going away to Eretz Yisrael a couple of days before Pesach, and we had a bunch of stuff in the dorm that we owned together, some surahs and kind of stuff. So some was his stuff, some was my stuff, and some was our stuff, I'm not sure who was what. So he decided that he didn't want to be bothered with the B'dikas Chometz and B'chiris Chometz, so he wanted to be makhle everything to me, and I should start to take care of all the getting rid of the Chometz. I wasn't around when he was leaving, so he went over to somebody else in the dorm, and he said he made a kinyan, he was mezakeh to somebody else, all his Chometz to me. I should become the bayam of his chametz, and I should have to deal with his chametz. So when I came back to the room an hour later, so the guy in the next door room says to me that Pliny just was makna to you all his chametz. So my initial reaction was, he's out of his mind. What do I need his chametz for? I have enough problem with my own chametz. I said, I don't want his chametz. Let him go deal with his own chametz. So I was meicha under zechia. So he thought he was doing me a great schus. He's giving me a gavalik matana. I said, matana, son, matana, shichia. What do I need his chametz? That's 3 days before Pesach. So I was meicha under matana. Now, once I was meicha under matana, the Gloy Milsa was never matana for, so he was still the bottom of his chametz. He's already at the airport, and he had to now authorize mechir's chametz. He was fuming at me. Because that Gemara said, well, Gemara Baba Basel, fair Shigma, I have a right to be my Gemara. So, anyway, we're still friends. But okay. Anyway, back to that story. So, whether or not Gemara Baba Basel is based on an unraveling of his chus, or it's based on a lack of laws and mitzvahs, is still open for discussion. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. I want to put some of the more touches on that Gemara Baba Basel story, and then go back to the Gemara in Ksubis, and back to the Taisis over here, and back to Zechi, and back to Shlichus, and to figure out maybe there's something else going on behind the scenes, a whole nother world in terms of Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus, to help understand that Gemara. How do you have a Ger Kotam? We're still searching for the mechanics of a Ger Kotam in Deraisa, so we have a whole nother Mahalach up for grabs tomorrow.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Okay, guys.
How does football
what?
Soccer culture.
Oh, so that's the Ron's cash. The guy doesn't really want it. Yeah.